Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One. Yes, the matchmaking crowns are back on following just another memorable trip to the world's most famous apex. This time, UFC Vegas 89 went down where there were fights, there were bites, and so much more. Even former fighters calling out commentators on social media. I mean, this event just had it all. And joining me to discuss the futures of some of these fighters from a matchmaking perspective, none other than the co-host, the co-matchmaker, the prince of positivity, and my best friend, Mr. Alexander Kaley. AK, how are we doing on this Sunday morning following such a legendary event at the world's most famous apex?
My best friend, I watched every second of this sumptuous UFC apex card. I'm doing good. The late start time wasn't great. For all you East Coasters out there, you know what I'm talking about. 7 p.m. start for the prelims, 10 p.m. start for a six-fight main card that featured Carl Williams and Justin Taffa and the penultimate fight. Carl Williams and Justin Taffa walked out around, I guess 12:30 at night. It's just ridiculous. Just straight up ridiculous. But the card was fine. I think a lot of the stuff we touched upon in the preview show, Mike. My mind is melting. We did the preview show together, right?
We did. We did.
This
indeed.
Is how the last few days have been for me. Yes, we did the preview show, and you and I talked quite a bit about, that there are storylines on this card, and we got some interesting answers to some of them. So I was in full Prince of Positivity mode on the post fight show, and I'm kind of sticking with that because we weren't expecting this to be a card of the year, but did we learn more about some of the fighters that were booked on this card who could have futures, promising futures in the UFC? I think we did. So we can talk a bit about that today because listen, we're all about talking about the future here.
Yes, that's what we're going to do. And maybe you just, at least according to some of the listener suggestions what a segue, you saying the future. Let's get right into it and let's discuss what happened with the main event. Rose Namajunas goes a full 25 with Amanda Ribas, an official flyweight bout. Two pretty much strawweight fighters fighting at flyweight, which I have no problem with. Rose gets the win. She wins 4-1 on two of the cards, 3-2 on the other. Rose had to kind of grind it out a little bit, but she gets it done. She gets her first official victory at 125 pounds. There is one very popular answer, and it is my answer as well, and it may very well be your answer. So as far as queuing up the band, I think the band is taking a well-deserved weekend off. For the most part, they're on standby in case something crazy happens, but I assume you went with the same thing I went with, which is Rose Namajunas versus Macy Barber.
Yeah, apologies to the band for a second week in a row, but this is the clear way to go Rose talked, mentioned Macy as an opponent, talked about it a bit more at the post-fight press conference. She wants a contender fight. She, of course, if they were to hand her a title fight, obviously Rose would not say no. That seems unlikely given that we have other contenders ahead of her, that we have Grasso and Shevchenko being forced to coach a season of The Ultimate Fighter for whatever reason. So it doesn't really make sense. Like, I don't think Rose can wait, just wait and sit around. And she wants to fight, right? She's coming off, again, her first flyweight victory. And Macy just makes a lot of sense, because if you want a contender, one that shouldn't have to take another fight, because, again, Aaron Blanchfield and Manel Ferro were also mentioned. And I don't think either of them makes sense for Namajunas right now. I think Macy's the only one ahead of her that's available. I think it's a winnable fight for Rose. I would certainly favor Macy at this stage right now, but it's definitely a winnable fight for Rose. And it wouldn't surprise me if Rose was favored by the odds makers, if that fight was made in the initial odds making. So I think money would move towards Macy. But yes, the whole point is, makes a lot of sense. I think the UFC should be working on this by Tuesday at their Tuesday meeting.
Yeah, I think this fight is the one to make. It should be a main event. It could be at the world's most famous Apex. Seems like Rose is just fine fighting at the world's most famous Apex. If there's like one fighter I think it like the Apex is like perfect for, it's probably Rose. For her sanity, I would say.
Yes, this is true. We said this on the post-fight show, though, that her I'm the best pre-fight mantra just came off more awkward in an empty gym, though. Like, I liked it. I like it in an arena because I feel like she's focusing. She's centering herself. She's kind of almost saying it to block out the noise. And in an empty, mostly empty venue like the Apex, it just comes off a little creepy, a little psycho. But maybe that is, you know what? Maybe that is a good thing for her at 125. So maybe she needs to be a little creepy and a little psycho. Because, hey, she got the win. She got the win. You can't complain about that. So I would rather not see Rose in the Apex again. But they got to fill fight cards, like you said, Mike, and they need fight card main events. And Rose Namajunas versus Macy Barber certainly sounds like an Apex main event, doesn't it?
You think Rose would like to go to Rio? Because, boy, yeah. that card, you could use a fight like this.
It could.
Let's just turn around. Macy would probably do it. It's a big opportunity. Mm-hmm. And this works out great for Macy Barber. The timing is perfect. Those Shevchenko and Grasso coaching the Ultimate Fighter is perfect for her, because if that wasn't the case, I don't think she's getting this fight. I really don't. So it works out really good for her. And I think, especially if Rose wants to come back in the next like 3, 4, 5 months, this really makes a lot of sense. Let's go to the co-main event, another unanimous decision. One that, you know what, AK, I don't want to lie to America. I don't want to lie to the world. Uh-huh. I watched not a single second of this card. Yep. Not 1 second. And I know people might give me crap for it, but I don't give a shit. I don't care. I got a rare Saturday night off. I didn't even ask for it. It was just given to me. I took it. Went out with the wife. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful day. I didn't even look at the phone more than like twice to see what was even going on this card. It was beautiful. But I did go to MMAfighting.com this morning and go through the stories and looked at some highlights and such of that nature. And boy, AK, when we get to this penultimate fight, boy, am I glad.
Mike,
from all accounts.
Mike, we did not write a lot about Carl Williams versus Justin Tafa. Not on the website anyway. I think maybe on our Slack we may have discussed it. How do you think the fight played out, Mike? If you were – make yourself AI, a ChatGPT for a second here. And in your mind, how do you think the fight went?
The fight went the way I 1,000,000% thought it would. I like in our official MMA fighting staff picks, I picked Justin Tafa by first round KO.
Sure.
But not because I thought that was going to happen. That was me putting out positive juju into the universe so that the results that I thought would happen would not happen. So I assume Carl Williams had like 4 takedowns and just did Carl Williams things in those takedowns for 15 minutes.
Let me see the official tally. You might be spot on. It cannot have been more than like 6, 7.
Yeah. Oh, we had 7 takedowns.
You know, there's some takedowns, get back, you know, Tafa quickly gets back up and like immediate takedown. So there's some padding of the takedown numbers in there. But yeah.
At least 10 minutes of control time, I'm assuming.
10 minutes, 31 seconds. Well done, Mike. Well done. Right on the money. Exactly. Right on the money. Yeah, this is, I don't know how you, you know, again, the only reason you make this the penultimate fight in the card is the reason you said, Mike, that you, that the matchmakers are trying to put that juju out there, because the top of bros, when they win by first round knockout. That is it. And you hope that maybe Tafa catches Carl into the shot. And it almost kind of looked like he was, because Carl Williams was standing with Justin Tafa a lot. And I know it's not that simple to take people down. I know it's not just, oh, duck down, grab, like, tackle someone. That's not how MMA works. I understand. But it really felt like Carl Williams was playing around on the feet a bit early on. At really, the beginning of every round, it felt like he was playing around on the feet. And it was a harrowing experience for anyone that had the heavyweight over Jen Meshew. But yes, it, as you said, Carl Williams, get those takedowns, control Justin Tafa for 15 minutes, and get it, get that extra paycheck. So, yeah, that was it, Mike. I cheated here. Not even cheat. I just got lazy. Mick Parkin.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean,
that's
whatever. It. Again,
band, stay band, over there.
Whoa! I saw the don't band jump up. I saw the band leave it jump up. We're like, no, no.
Do not plug in those instruments. Stay where you're at. If you want to practice some acoustics, go right ahead, but do not play the theme song. Yeah. I mean, look, let's give heavyweight overs better something to get excited about. This one would absolutely do it. And the card I did watch this weekend, because I had to cover it, was the Bellator card. I would assume that Carl Williams versus Justin Tafa was the UFC equivalent to Corey Anderson versus Carl Moore, because that's pretty much what I thought it would be. Like, Carl would have to either knock him out, or he's just going to get up against the fence and take it down a bunch. But I digress.
Listen, Carl Williams and Parkin, two of the hottest names in the heavyweight division, both on Mick Parkin, obviously undefeated, and I think 3-0 in the UFC, and Carl Williams also 3-0 in the UFC. So there you go. Mick Parkin, by the way, Mike, I'm assuming you didn't watch this fight either.
No.
Gets that decision against the a man who was also streaking. I think he had the longest win streak or something heading into this card, Muhammad Usman. And about that, Mo Usman did not agree with the, I think it was 29-28 scorecards in a fight where, as is typical with the talented but sometimes frustrating Mo Usman, he did nothing. He did nothing. Mick Parkin didn't do a lot either. Never mind. It's not like Mick Parkin was styling on him. The fight that opened the card, it was very much a glorified sparring contest. At no point did I feel that either guy was going to knock the other guy out or wanted to. It was rough. We had two very poor heavyweight fights. Mike, what is the last good back and forth UFC heavyweight fight that you can remember? Because I was going way back. I gave up after a while. I was trying to go as far back as like last summer. I found nothing. I cannot remember. We have some memorable knockouts for sure. Memorable finishes. Back and forth heavyweight contests, like fight of the year candidate.
Fight of the year candidate?
Fight of the night candidate. Fight of the night candidate. Let me lower the criteria. We can come back to this question later, because like I said, I had to dig deep and could not find it. People, if you remember, please DM
me. Wasn't there one like not that long ago?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't. Maybe it's a card I missed. I don't know.
I don't remember.
I can say for sure there's not been a fight of the night winner. For a while, which does not mean there wasn't a great fight, just there hasn't officially been a fight of the night winner. So heavyweight,
I would say, I mean, it got finished. Are we going all the way back to Tai Tuivasa versus Derek Lewis? Is that the last one?
Was that before or after the Cyril Gane one? That was before.
Oh yeah, Cyril Gane, right.
That was a long time ago. Like that was
September 2022.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So if you have to go that far back, we could be saying there was not a single good UFC heavyweight fight, like competitive UFC heavyweight fight in 2023. People, again, DM me, hit me up on Twitter if I'm missing an obvious one. But it's rough out there at heavyweight right now.
Let's go to the middleweight division, AK. It's fun. Edmund Shahbazyan was fun. Gets a finish in the first round against AJ Dobson. From what I understand, it looked a little hairy for a moment for Mr. Shahbazyan, but he comes through, he battles, lands the big left hook, gets some ground and pound, gets the victory. He is back on track. I went with a guy that is just super fun. I saw some listener suggestions. I saw one in particular that I'm going to call out because it's just awful. Not from a merit perspective, but like, come on, stop doing this to poor Edmund Shahbazyan. But I'm going with a little bit of a step up, a grinder, if you will, but in just a fun way. a getter get got all-star from the middleweight division. Unfortunately, in his last fight, he got. Edmund Shahbazyan versus Mikhail Oleksaychuk, AK. Let's just do it.
That's good.
Let's chuck those dudes in there and let's have them throw fists at each other.
That's really good. I think we're going to be saying a little bit about a similar thing for the next like four fight main card picks that we're doing, because a lot of the guys who compete on Saturday after their impressive wins are kind of in between. Should we move them up the ranks? Should they get a top 20, top 25 person, or should we keep them in the range they're at and even like go slightly lower just to keep them in fun fights? So I think you went the fun fight direction, which is probably the right way to go for Edmund, who's just had a up and down. There's no other way to put it. Up and down UFC career. This was an up and down fight, and he got rocked early, and then again he's a great offensive striker and showed it off and just pretty much won a firefight. I went up the rankings, way up, against someone who could be a tough style matchup for him, but I also feel like he can get this guy. Paul Craig. I have him on the edge of my top 15. It's not quite. He recently fell out. Again, it could turn to Paul Craig just using his grappling. He's a good grappler to take Edmund out. But I think Edmund has a chance to keep this one on the feet and beat him. And that would be a massive victory. But again, maybe I'm a fool and just throwing Edmund back into the shark tank too soon.
Is that it? Or are you adding more to that? I hope you're adding more to that.
That's it. Is Paul Craig booked?
Yes.
Is he fighting next week?
No. Oh, he's fighting May 4th at UFC 301.
Who's he fighting?
Caio Baralho.
Come on.
Mr. Co-Main Event.
I'll take my doo-doo. I'll take my doo-doo like a man.
Hey, maybe he fights the winner.
Maybe? Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I don't think he'd get Caio.
No, if Caio wins.
If Paul Craig loses, he should definitely get Paul Craig.
I really hope Caio... I hope it's one of those situations where Caio is like the featured ESPN prelim on that card, and if he wins, it's at like 10:01 p.m. Eastern time, and he doesn't get to do a post-fight interview. They just move right onto the main card and get out of there, because boy, the call out he's gonna have is gonna be atrocious, and we don't need to see it. But
speaking of call outs, did you see the Carl Williams post-fight interview? I'm sorry, before we got to hate to jump
no I did not him. Did he call somebody out? Please no, tell me.
Yes,
he called out, like, Jones.
No, he went from what sounded like the worst call-out ever to actually the best call-out ever, because first he said Stipe Miocic, but he and then he clarified Stipe, like he said, oh, I've heard you do like a charity cookout or something, so I want to do a dueling charity cookout. And I'm like, oh, that's an amazing call-out. Good
very
job,
good.
Carla.
Okay, but, now one of the listener picks makes sense.
At first I was like, where is he going with this? Because I'm like, this, if he was genuinely calling out Stipe, I'm like, well, this is the worst call-out of, like, not by far. Like, there's no, it'd be Carl Williams calling out Stipe, and then whatever our second place just pushed like miles away. But Carl, no, he is a sensible man, and he just said a cookout challenge to Stipe Miocic, which is something that could actually happen, because Stipe, I don't know when he's fighting. So if you can get him to at least come out for a cookout, great job, Carl Williams. So yes, excellent call out.
Good for you, Carl Williams. Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Let's move to the bantamweight division. This was, and I said this in the preview show, outside of the main event, if I could only watch one fight on this card, what would it be? It would be this one, Peyton Talbot versus Cameron Simon, because I had a lot of questions about both of these guys. This is the future of the division in a lot of respects. Was Peyton ready for a big step up like this against a guy like Cameron Simon, who's sort of been through the ringer a lot more on his resume than Peyton Talbot was? Boy, was I wrong. Peyton Talbot goes in there and just thumps up Cameron Simon, gets a finish in round two, gets a huge win, improves to 8-0. What are we doing with young Peyton Talbot here? 25 years old, kid's got the world ahead of him, and this is an eye-opening victory in a lot of people's brains after just icing out Cameron Simon the way that he did.
Hold on, what's my pick here? I want to tell people right now, I did my... I'm making excuse. I better not read this out loud because I made an insane pick, and you guys will never know what it is. It's not even the right weight class. So I think I see.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you should definitely go first. I see what I did there. Okay.
I apologized to my best friend AK.
Let me tell people how bad my pick was right now.
Unofficial, by the way.
I'm not going to say the name. I was going to say I matched him up with a middleweight. That's how messed up my brain was.
Oh, my God.
I was doing these picks at 3:30 in the morning. All right? Hold on. Okay, please, save me. Save my best friend. Go ahead. So go.
I apologize to Canada, but I'm doing it. We're going to Canada. And you know what? I'm forcing Brad Katona to put his two Ultimate Fighter titles on the line against Peyton Talbot. Let's just do it. I want to see it. He passed this test with flying colors. I think Brad Katona is awaiting the winner no matter what, the way I viewed this fight. So let's do Peyton Talbot versus Brad Katona next. I think he's ready for it. I think he's good enough to fight to probably beat Brad Katona. I would pick Peyton Talbot to beat him. So let's do that. I was thinking maybe Garrett Armfield, but let's get to the Katona test first, and then we can get to Peyton Talbot, Garrett Armfield down the line.
Man, this has been a bummer. I mean, I feel like Talbot at this point would be favored against Brad Katona.
For sure.
And this is a real bummer for this last season of The Ultimate Fighter, because we won't talk about these fights much. We had Kurt Holub on the prelims just get smothered by Trey Ogden, was not really in the fight at all. Almost the same story with Cody Gibson. I think he put a little bit better resistance trying to stay on his feet, but it was the wrestling that foiled him. Cody Gibson, the Ultimate Fighter runner-up to Brad Katona. So
Usman.
It's not going to... I didn't want to bring that up. I was specifically Ultimate Fighter 31, but yes, Mo Usman, also an Ultimate Fighter winner, also with a uninspiring performance. And then, yes, if Katona in a few months or later this year were to get taken out by Talbot, man, this whole Ultimate Fighter experience is, I'm sure people already want to see it shut down. And gosh, now they're taking up the cross ownership check. All right. A great pick. I saw other people throwing that out there. I'm just going to throw out a kind of a random one. And we talked about, hey, maybe Peyton makes a quick turnaround for 301. How about Willie Cat, Daniel Santos? Maybe Daniel Santos Ooh. Is the way to go. There's a lot of ways you can go. Again, I saw a post-fight show. We had a lot of people asking, oh, is it time? Can he get a ranked guy? And I'm like, let's slow down. He looked great against Cameron. He looked great against Cameron. He looked good in his debut. He fought his UFC debut, fought through some, you know, some tough situations and came back. So we've seen both sides. We've seen him dominate. We've seen him show some maturity, some poise. And that's great. That's what you want to see from a young prospect. I think he's only 25 years old. But let's keep in mind that he is only 25 years old. He is a prospect. This division is very, 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 very deep. So I don't see the need to go like top 30 even. Let's give this guy time. Let's keep him busy. Let's keep him healthy. And I say, like, we're eyeing 2025 before we even talk about, like, a top 20 guy.
Yeah, he's got, in a different way, but he's got O'Malley vibes to me. He does have, he certainly has O'Malley vibes to some extent. So we'll see what
he can do. It's the accuracy, yeah. You know. I thought he was, like, looking a little wild in round one, but he settled himself down quite, for a young guy to settle himself down and then start picking his shots. And just landing bombs, and then to come out in the second round again, composed, get that finish within the first 30 seconds, it's rare to see. It's rare to see for a guy with this with only 7-8 pro fights.
Impressive stuff. Let's go to the featherweight division. Yusuf Zalal, a successful return to the UFC. He had, you know, a cup of coffee outside of it. Did the three fights in one night thing for Sparta FC. Was the king of Sparta for a little while. Takes on Billy Quarantillo, takes a fight on short notice, and Yusuf Zalal gets his first UFC finish in his, this time in his second stint, gets a big win. I heard a lot of people just not dump on Yusuf Zalal, but giving this man no chance to beat Billy Q. And I was just like, why? Yusuf's always been good. He's had some tough fights. Like, this dude fought Ilya Topuria on like a week's notice overseas. This dude is good. Just had a lot of tough fights. Just couldn't get his legs under him. Maybe just the time away was a good thing to get him back. And Yusuf Zalal's a good fighter, man. He's good. Congratulations to him. Billy Q responded, gave Yusuf his props, said he had a tough night, no excuses. So let's do Yusuf Zalal versus Daniel Pineda, AK. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That's good. I think I matched up Pineda with one of the featherweight winners last week, so I didn't go that way. That makes a ton of sense. I went less veteran. I went with Muhammad Naimov. Again, a lot of ways you go with Zalal right now. I know this is a short notice opportunity for Zalal. I hope they gave him a multi-fight deal. Or if they did, actually, maybe it's better they didn't. If they didn't give him a multi-fight deal, I hope he gets a nice multi-fight deal now with the leverage of having beaten Billy Quarantillo. But I assume it's when he got signed, it was for at least two or three, four fights, something like that. I don't think the UFC is in the business of just saying, hey, one off, and now you can renegotiate. It's not really, doesn't really serve them well. So, yeah, great to see Yusuf back. I forgot how young he was when he came to the UFC. I forgot, and I interviewed him a long time ago. Very nice young man, and I forgot that. Like, yeah, when he started off, he was 3-0 in his UFC run. He was only like 23, 24 years old. Very, very young guy and talented, clearly. Then you run some tough opponents. Like, yeah, Ilya. I think Alex Caceres was in there. He didn't even go on a loss. He went on a draw. That was sort of the last fight in his contract. They just didn't bring him back. And then, it goes back to the regional scene, kind of shows how far he's come along, just decimates some overmatched competition. Now he's 27. He's kind of in his athletic prime and could be like a mainstay now. Could have a nice 10-15 fight run in the UFC. Is he a contender? I don't know. But is he a guy who could hang around, win two, lose one, win two, lose one? Yeah, he could. He really could be. And he plays spoiler for some guys. Yeah, so great story. Perfect example of having a tough first UFC run, going back to the regional scene, and then coming back clearly improved, more mature, more physically mature and everything. So you'd like to see it.
Yeah. Let's go. Actually, we're sticking at 145 with Mr. Padilla. Mr. Padilla getting in there. Fernando Padilla, that is, getting a victory over Luis Pajuelo, gets the Darce just about halfway through the opening round. I like this kid a lot. I know he's got the loss to Kyle Nelson. I thought he just didn't show up for that fight. I think Kyle had probably his best night at the office that he could at this point in his career. And it was just a vet setback. I actually rank him pretty high. I have him, I think he's got like top 30 talent in this division. I really do. So I'm going to make this real quick. Noche UFC, September in the Sphere. We give Mr. Padilla the winner of the upcoming Damon Jackson versus Alexander Hernandez fight inside the Sphere.
Wow. I'm trying to look where I have these guys in my rankings. I think I have him above those guys anyway. Where's my Alexander Hernandez? It's quite a talented division. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. The date, the location makes a lot of sense. I went with Nathaniel Wood. I have Nathaniel Wood slightly ahead of him. I already have Padilla in the top 25, frankly, just by MMA math, because he beat Julian Erosa. Julian Erosa has beaten guys beneath him. I don't need to share the whole chart of who beat who to get this thing. But yes, just on the merit of beating Erosa and then this impressive performance on Saturday, he kind of already creeps into my top 25. I could understand people having him lower, but I like him and Nathaniel Wood. I think that to me would really show me he's maybe a top 20 talent. And then we'd see where we go with that. So yeah, I like Padilla. Featherweight division is just, it's just on fire right now. I mean, it's right again, bantamweight, featherweight, lightweight. Holy crap. If you're competing in one of these divisions, you got a long ways to go to the top. But also, there's a lot of chances to shine because there's great competition top to bottom.
Absolutely. Let's go to the wild card round, AK. We'll select one fighter we've not match made for yet. We'll match make for him right now. Are you sticking in the featherweight division, AK, or are you going elsewhere?
I mean, we didn't both pick Andre Lima. We didn't both do... No?
I figured you were going to pick Andre Lima. I went a different direction.
Okay. I'll go with Andre Lima. I had to do it. The man got bitten, Mike. Yeah, you got to run it back. Igor, you're only... For Igor, you're only 20 years old. Get your stuff together. Stop biting people. Don't let me... If I see this guy 3 months from now in Misfit, headlining Miss Fist, Mike... Miss Fist colon fighter strikes biting fighter strikes again in like Brazil regional battle, I'll be so disappointed. So Igor, you're only 20 years old. I don't know what happened. Fighting is tough. I don't know if he just had a moment, an episode, and decided to bite another man quite viciously. But I hope this is again a freak thing and not indicative of him as a fighter or as a human being. But Andre Lima. I just want to give him, kind of keeping with the theme of, listen, he got bit. So I think the next logical opponent is Bruno Bulldog Silva. So there you go.
That is very good.
There we go.
Very good. I'm sticking with featherweight. I'm sticking with Julian Arosa, going with him. He is Julian Arosa. I mean, just this guy is just, you never know what you're going to get. He's either going to get God or he's going to almost get got and then come back and get you, which is exactly what happened on Saturday. And I'm stunned this matchup has never been made. Like, I'm really stunned this matchup has never made, and I think we have to do it before time goes out. And I also don't want to see this other guy really fight this next crop of hungry, up-and-coming 145ers. Let's do a little Julian Arosa versus Darren Elkins, AK. Let's just have these two dudes, these wily vets, just get in there and bite down on the mouthpieces and get after it until somebody can't do it anymore.
There's a lot of veterans you could have gone with there. So I thought you were going to be, and I saw some listeners throw out some veteran names too. So I thought you were going to be friends forever with one of the listeners, but I guess we'll get to that later. Yeah. Good win for Arosa. He had some, like, I don't know if you saw, he had not great, I would say, media post fight interview. And I'll get to that later. A listener kind of addressed it, kind of asked about it. So I do want to touch upon it. We don't need to spend too much time on it. But it certainly deserves a commentary, and I will have that in a moment.
Fair. Do we have any check the tapes? Anyone claiming hot no points? Anything?
We do.
Ooh, shout out. Okay.
Shout out to Left Lane MMA for. I tell people if you want points, just remind me because again, I'm not always keeping track of listener picks now. It's just a bit hard to do. There's so many and there's a lot of overlap. But Left Lane did remind me, and this is really a point for a shared point, guys. So you guys can thank Left Lane on Instagram for reminding me that y'all were on top of Anthony Smith versus Vitor Petrino. Looks like that's going down UFC 301 May 4th. And Mike, I want to get your thoughts on this because I was told you weren't thrilled about the prospect of Waldo Cortez Acosta versus Robles de Spain, which sounds like it is happening May 11th at UFC St. Louis. So this was the 299 episode, I think, Mike, where you commented on this. Why no Salsa Boy versus Robles?
Because I want Robles to fight fun guys. And Waldo's not fun. So that's really it. I mean, look, if Robles touches Salsa Boy, then it ain't going to matter anyways, because Salsa Boy's going to sleep. But I have real Carl Williams, Justin Taffa vibes here. And I just don't even want the chance for that to happen. Which is why I was like, just throw Robles in there with freaking Austin Lane. Like, those two, like, I think Austin's now booked officially since 299. But, I mean, that's perfect. Like, Austin Lane's not going to try to wrestle this dude. He's going to go in there and try to punch him in the face really, really hard. Which is the kind of fights we want to see Robles in. We don't want to see anybody try to take Robles down in any way, shape, or form. We want someone to be like Josh Parisian could have easily gone in there and took him down. But you know what he did? He just got shot out of a cannon and ran right into Robles' fist. Like, that's what we want. And there's a chance we don't get that with Salsa Boy. I wasn't dogging the listeners. I just think it's not great matchmaking potentially. And Robles should be out there icing fools in less than a minute. like anything less than that is promotional malpractice, AK, in my opinion.
Him and Austin Lane, which should happen someday, that fight would last -8 seconds.
Exactly. That's what we should be doing.
Austin Lane would be KO. And it's not an insult to Austin Lane. This is just how fast to Spain. Austin Lane would be knocked out as he was walking to the cage. That's how quickly that fight would end.
And then the other better idea was what happened after last Saturday's show. We should have done Rebellis versus Tai Tuivasa. Like, that's like, it's just Rebellis is 35. The window is not a big one, even at heavyweight for this young man. Let's chuck him in there with Tai.
Maybe he brings the best out of Salsa Boy. Maybe. Salsa Boy, he like most heavyweights, Salsa Boy was a finisher before coming to the UFC, right? I'm not making that up, right? I know he had a finish at the Game Bread fight show. I guess he's not a particularly – I guess he has the average pre-UFC heavyweight resume where it's like first-round knockouts of some random – I don't know. Maybe. I won't give up on Salsa Boy. I think you that fight could end in someone getting sparked. Probably. I don't know. I don't have a prediction yet.
I'll reserve judgment. Reserve judgment, but would not be my first choice, would not be my second choice, would not even be my eighth choice. There are other names you could have thrown him in there with. This name is better than Jed's suggestion of throwing Rebellis in there with Chris Barnett, which is awful. But other than that, this was probably like, unless you threw him in there with Carl Williams, this would be like the third worst choice, in my opinion. But we'll see. Maybe Rebellis will just hit him once real quick and we don't even have to worry about it. Any other points being given, AK?
No, we can move on to listener picks, Mike. And I just want to say, there's a lot of Carl Williams picks, which is fine. He deserves it. He was in the penultimate fight of the night. But some of these, I feel like listeners are competing to make like the worst heavyweight fight of the year. And we'll get to, I'm sure you got some of these too. On the other hand, I don't know. Maybe we should have, like when we were doing our pick for Carl Williams, besides, you know, we both just punted and said Mick Parkin. Maybe we should have tried to find like what opponent. And this is with all respect to Carl Williams, who, hey, buddy, keep winning, keep getting those checks. That's your job. But is there who could get an exciting fight out of Carl Williams? I don't know. No, but I mean, he could just get smothered. Right? I don't know.
Rebellis says he's very good on the ground, so but I don't want to see that.
Everyone says that.
Yes. Ian Garry has already said he's the best jiu-jitsu player in the world, pound for pound. So but we just haven't seen it yet.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, let's get into the listener picks. Let's see what everyone picked for one Carl Williams. Everything that I got, I didn't get a ton. A lot of punters, AK, a lot of punters. Robbie Ryan, Thug Rose versus Ariane Lipsky. Not even going Macy Barber, going Ariane Lipsky.
Lipsky's still on a win streak, right? She's cooking.
She's looking real good.
She looks real good. I like that. I don't know why I hadn't. I guess I kept thinking of just only people above Rose, but I kind of like Lipsky.
Yeah, it's kind of a step back from Amanda, if we're being honest.
It is.
But Ariane has looked good. Robbie punted as well. Carl Williams versus Mick Parkin. Why this wasn't stood up in the third round is a crime. I'll have to take your word for it because I didn't watch it. Talbot versus Daniel Santos. There you go.
Oh, thank you.
Yusuf Zalal versus the Kyle Nelson, Bill Algeo winner. Wildcard Trey Ogden versus Loik Radziboff. This is the one for Edmund Shahbazyan that I'm just not happy with. Robbie, come on now. Shahbazyan versus Rodolfo Vieira. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Stop throwing him in there with grinding wrestlers. Listen, enough.
Barry O'Reilly, the dear Barry O'Reilly sent this one in as well, and I was going to have the same reaction. Was there any explanation, justification for the pick?
No, just okay. That was just it.
Here is Barry says, Edmund is young, but I don't see much upside to him unless he's just booked against stand-up guys. Even then, he was rocked by Dobson. Should Vera beat him, he gets a bit more respect. While if Edmund is to beat the jiu-jitsu great, then maybe he'll have some hope of pushing for a ranking again in the future. Can I say, and I'm sure Edmund and his team would disagree, I don't care about Edmund having a ranking or fighting for a title in the future. That's so far off in the distance. I'm not interested in, oh, well, let's test him and see if he's a title contender. I don't care. I want to see him sparking AJ Dobson, sparking Brad Tavares. I just want to see him striking and smashing people and not getting taken down, and or maybe getting smashed himself as he almost did against Dobson. I want to see him in exciting fights. He's an exciting fighter on the feet. Man, we do not need to test him. This should not be our priority. Yes, I hate this matchup so much. I don't see a world where he can keep Adolfo from taking him down and just messing up his whole day on the ground. So we're going the wrong way. This is the Anthony Hernandez matchmaking. We're just like, why?
Oh,
like, why, man. Why?
What? They freaking, like...
horrible.
The UFC ruined him. Like, they absolutely ruined him. They pushed him way too quickly. Mm-hmm. They pushed him into matchups he just was not ready for. Derek Brunson, like, you want to test him? Fine. And even then, I didn't love the matchup. Goes out and loses, and that it is what it is. And then to run him right back with Jack Hermanson was just like, okay, well, why would you do this? And then they're like, okay, now we have to like just give him a big step back. And they throw him in there with Nasruddin Imavov. And I'm like, what are you doing? Are you just trying to make this guy lose? And then they bounce him back with Dulcela Gamboa, which is perfect. I mean, that is like A+ matchmaking for him. They should have done that after the Derek Brunson fight. And then what do they do after that? They throw him in there with Fluffy. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you just trying to ruin this kid's career altogether? Just making sure he has no chance? I would to see them do this correctly is what what I'm looking for.
Yeah. This would be like if after like Cameron Simon's back-to-back losses to Christian Rodriguez and Peyton Talbot, they're like, okay, now you're fighting Song Yadong. It's like, what? It's like, why? What? Like, why? What are we like? I know they won't do like, God, I hope they don't do that. But I just feel like, yeah, they mishandle some prospects sometimes. And Edmund's like a prime example. There's a lot of fun fights for Edmund. It doesn't matter whether I want this guy to have a long, healthy MMA career. I know they have every fighter has big dreams, wanting to be the main event, wanting to be a world champion, make those millions of dollars. But he's only 26. He has plenty of time to figure out who he is, which could just be a great action fighter, maybe picking up a lot of bonus checks. I don't know. He didn't get one on Saturday, which is kind of rough. But he certainly could get plenty in the future. So, yeah, we don't need to test his grappling. I don't care about testing his grappling. Let him do that privately. I don't need to see that on national television.
No, if he gets ranked again, then we can test his grappling again. But yes, just go out there and let's try to see if the UFC can do it correctly.
Sure.
Our friend Left Lane, Rose versus Barber, popular pick. Williams versus Stipe in the cook-off of the century. Now that makes a lot more sense. Talbot versus Alatang A. Lee, winner lose against Victor Hugo. Zalal versus the Aljo Nelson winner. Padilla versus Charles Jourdain. Arosa versus the Jackson Hernandez winner. Parkin versus Nascimento. Aarons versus Mel Costa. The most important pick of all, Lima versus Mike Tyson. What do you think of this for Edmund Shahbazyan, AK? Edmund Shahbazyan versus Roman Kopylov.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's great. This is how we should go. Yeah, I got this from shout out TAC MMA as well. Yes, this is the right direction we're moving in. So someone's getting got. Someone's getting a $50,000 bonus. Someone's probably getting hurt. So that's on the forces side of it. But this is the hurt business. And this is the kind of matchmaking we should be doing for Edmund and Roman, frankly.
Yes. I don't mind that one. I'd like to see Edmund get one more win, then do Roman.
Mm.
But if they book that, I'm fine with it. Much better than the alternatives of throwing him in there with a multi-time ADCC world champion. Don't want to see that. Last one I got, Four Corner Sports. Oh boy, AK, you want to talk about heavyweight knockdown drag out affairs. Carl Williams versus Martin Budai, AK. Woof. Start up the engines.
Instant contender for worst fight of the year. I'm sorry.
The over 2.5 is going to be -875 for that fight.
Vegas may take that one off the board. They may take that one off the board.
No bets. No bets allowed.
You can't take the over. You cannot take the over.
He also likes Fernando Padilla versus Charles Jourdain, Yusuf Zalal versus Nathaniel Wood, Peyton Talbot versus Taylor Lapolis. AK, I'm about to dull some doo-doo to our friend Four Corner Sports. And normally we're a little bit more lenient about this, but when there's two potential doo-doo things, one of which we've already discussed on this program multiple times, I have to deliver this. He goes with Edmund Shahbazyan versus Albert Duraev. There's two things to mention here. One, Albert Duraev not in the UFC anymore, which we've already discussed in the show more than once. And two, they're also teammates. They have also trained together at Extreme Couture many, many times. So this is doo-doo for Cora Swartz. It is official. I'm gaveling it down. Stamped a doo-doo.
Can we call this a light doo-dooing? Because I do feel... No. This is a firm... This is a stinky...
It's a full doo-doo.
This is a stinky poo-poo.
Yeah, if it was just one...
Damn.
If it was just one or the other, I would lighten it down, but... This is this has
damn,
to be.
I was gonna say in fairness to Four Corner Sports, again a regular contributor, friend of the show. He has Duraev has not fought since parting ways with the UFC, so it's kind of hard to keep track. Sometimes when you don't see that they fought, in a promotion since. Again, I'm sure we report it on MMAfighting.com, great website, so you should know.
We also I have also said look, when it happens once, all right, we're not gonna award it. When it happens a second time, we're okay. This is the last, I remember saying this. I'm like, look, this is the last time I'm going to say this. Albert Duraev is not in the UFC right now. He could resign, but okay, as of right now, take him off the board.
Yeah.
You've and then many times. We get not only that, but a teammate as well.
So I didn't know they were teammates either.
Full doo-doo.
I didn't know they were teammates. I was unfamiliar with that. So, but you know what? You're right. The information's out there, Mike. I'm being maybe too Prince of Positivity today. Give him the stinky.
It's okay. All right. That's all I got, AK. I hate to end it on the doo-doo, but
don't worry.
Maybe save us. Save us.
Oh, we got a lot of positive vibes here, my friend. Because I didn't get too many either, but I did get three first-timers. Three welcome to the party, pal, gift recipients. Let's start with the Moneyline Mike. Moneyline Mike. First time in the program. Hopefully a few fights to book. Guy was supposed to test a young prospect in Raul Rosa. So how about Ricky Tercios versus Peyton Talbot? Perfect level of weird. Yeah, very popular pick this week. People saying Talbot and Ricky. Fernando Padilla versus Charles Jourdain, another popular pick, and fun test, Julian Arosa versus Muhammad Naimov, two awkward styles, sure. Enrique at Tornado Kick on Twitter. We've talked on Twitter before. I'll just read their, this is their first time sending in picks, though. They said, they had a stupid day at work, and I decided to engross myself in this very Apexy card when I got home. Here's some odd no submissions. Rose versus Macy Barber. Don't want to rush Barber into a former champ fight, but she's due another step up. And I could see her beating the slower version of Rose. Decent pay-per-view main card fight or Fight Night main event. Yeah. And by the way, Rose herself said she felt slower, so I don't think that's too much of a burn. Oh, he's going for a step up for Peyton. Julio Arce, Herbert Burns winner. Wow, that to me is a big step up.
Nice.
Other stuff. Edmund versus Shara Bullitt. I actually do like that. I know people think Shara would just straight up kill Edmund, but it's a stand-up fight. As a stand-up fight, I give Edmund a chance against anyone outside of the top 10 at 185 in a stand-up fight. I give Edmund a chance. I like that. Andre Lima versus Antibiotics. Yeah, getting the tattoo after. I don't know. That was, I don't know. And Enrique says, F Julian Arosa. They didn't say F. They used the F word. For anyone who missed it, and I don't want to draw too much attention to it, and again, it's a controversial topic. It's fine. Julian Arosa kind of went on a weird sort of anti-trans comment on his post-fight when he's speaking to the media after addressing specifically, I think, the swimmer Leah Thompson, who is a trans woman competing in swimming, and has, again, it has caused quite a bit of controversy. But it kind of came out of nowhere, and the way he phrased it was very weird. He's like, "I'd like to see Leah come over to MMA," and then he said, "Then I will transition to being a woman so I can fight her." And I'm like, "This is a weird way to go down." I very quickly, when it comes to the topic of trans athletes competing, in sports, I understand the controversy, and I think there are questions to be asked. That's fine. If you're genuinely asking questions and you want to have a conversation, that's fair game. I haven't done enough research on the topic, to be honest. So I'm generally pro, but I could certainly see why there's consternation about it. I don't think it's cut and dry. I don't think it's cut and dry. Well, oh, this should 100% be allowed. So if that's Julian's issue, that's fine. But I also think there's people, again, who just have a problem with trans people existing, which is insane and horrible. But in Julian's case, it was just such a weird thing to bring up, and the way he brought again, the hoops he jumped through in his mind to think that he was making it a compelling point It just was not a great moment for Julian. So I didn't want to talk about Julian too much, but I do know there's a lot of people in the trans community who are obviously just like, what the hell is guy talking about? Why is he even bringing this up? So for anyone who's saying F Julian Erosa today, that is why. And I certainly agree with you when it comes to this topic. Mike, I don't know if you want to say anything about that, but that's just my two cents there real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a whole lot to add to that. Kind of wish he didn't say that, but it is what it is.
You know? It is what it is.
In the moment, got a microphone in front of your face. Sometimes you just say a bunch of things and not tremendous.
Not his best. Mr. Senior Man, our last first timer. Welcome to the party, pal. On to the next one, picks below. He wants Thug Rose and Blanchfield. He's picking Aaron to beat Menno. Flyweight title more than likely be September 17th at the Sphere. Is that right, Mike? I haven't been keeping up with the Ultimate Fighter taping. That sounds like that's the idea, right? They do the Ultimate Fighter, the season's over, and then they do the Sphere?
Yeah, because I think it's airing, the first episode airs June 4th.
Yes.
For Tuff, so...
Prime summer programming, Mike. Prime, that's every... When summer rolls around, fight fans are looking forward to International Fight Week and The Ultimate Fighter. That is what everyone's talking about. The return of Conor McGregor and the next season of The Ultimate Fighter.
I mean, they got the return of Conor McGregor on the last season of The Ultimate Fighter, and still nobody watched it. So it's going to be tough.
Tough hang forever. I kind of like the reasoning here, though. I think this is anyone who's thinking of Rose versus Aaron is thinking the same way, that if Aaron Blanchfield wins and just decides to wait, it is a bit of a wait. And I think most people are confident she would beat this version of Rose Namajunas, so they don't mind making her this matchup. Mr. Senior Man saying, I don't like the idea of the long layoff, and may as well collect a paycheck and a big name. So I don't know, but could be a trap fight for Aaron. When Rose is at her best, man, she could beat anybody.
Yeah, take your title fight if you win. She wins, take your title fight.
Rebook Shabazzian Todorovic and again another Peyton Talbot, Ricky Tercios. We don't know if they're going to rebook Ricky and Raul, right? It was supposed to happen, and then obviously there was no actual agreement, and that's just in limbo now, right?
I mean, if I'm Ricky, I'm not really turned on by that one anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I think I'm ready to move on from it.
Peyton be tough. Boy, again, probably the right way to go with him at this time, but that's a tough fight. But Ricky would jump on that in a second because Ricky's Ricky.
They are rep by the same. I think they're rep by the same team, so that would be easy fight to put together.
Easy to make it happen. Beer Cheese 6900. What's up, Beer Cheese? Talbot, Castaneda, some we've already said, Padilla and Sung Woo Choi. And again, this was another proper pick. Zalal and Jourdain. I think that makes a ton of sense. And we'll close out here with Barry O'Reilly. I didn't get any Instagram or email things. Come on, guys. I think, Mike, I'll have to read the contact information at the end of this week's episode. I think people might be forgetting. Or we have new listeners who don't know. Barry O'Reilly beat my Lima suggestion. He wants Lima versus Charlie Campbell because Charlie Campbell is, of course, known as the Cannibal. So, well done. Charlie Campbell, I think, is reportedly fighting Trevor Peak on April 6th. But again, the joke is too good. It's too good to pass up on. So, well done, Barry. Yeah. At that, maybe a win, lose, or draw. You know, win, lose, or draw, Trevor Peak, we give him leave. Johns versus Davy Grant. Erosa versus Andre Feely. That's who I thought you were going to talk about before, Mike, when you were talking about your wild card pick for Julian. I thought you'd go Andre Feely. Talbot and Vinicius Oliveira. Man, it's one of the best knockouts of the year so far. That's a banger.
Hell yeah, it is.
And, there you go. Pittsburgh. This is why I wanted to end with this. Mike, we had people asking about this on the post-fight show. And unfortunately, you were not available. You're enjoying a lovely night off. But you are the Natty Ice, one of the bigger Natty Ice fans out there. I'm a big fan, too. Most people are. But you are a big fan. And people said, the phrasing last night, this is not how Barry puts it. This was the phrasing last night. Should we just feed Rose Namajunas to Natalia Silva? So what do you think, Mike, of Rose Namajunas versus Natty Ice?
I mean, if I'm Rose, I'm not taking that fight at all. That's way too risky. I mean, I wouldn't hate it. I would watch it. It makes no sense for Rose. She gains nothing from beating Natty Ice. Like, literally nothing. Natty gains everything. Rose gains nothing. It's just a paycheck. Macy's the bigger fight where she could gain something from someone who's on a really good streak, who's beaten the Caitlin Chookagians of the world, who has a stoppage win over Amanda Hibas. So there's like something there. If you're Natty Ice and they offer you that fight, you freaking jump on it. You take it. Absolutely take it. So I think Natty Ice probably gets like a Lauren Murphy, somebody like that. I don't think she gets Rose because I think Rose is – the way the UFC views Rose is something we talked about on the preview show. She's probably like the backup fighter for the title fight right now. Mm-hmm. Like I know Blanchfield and Fiora are about to fight, but if – I'll tell you right now, if they say it on the first episode of The Ultimate Fighter on June 4th, these two ladies are going to fight September 16th, wherever it is, at the Sphere. You bet your ass Rose Namajunas is going to be the backup fighter. If someone falls out, Rose is getting slotted right in there to be on that pay-per-view, especially at that event, in that venue, with how Dana views that card. He's going to load it up with stars. So I like the concept for the Natty Ice rise, but if you're Rose, you look at that fight and you say, way too risky. And she's literally in the same position she's in if she wins that fight. So I would say no.
I also don't love it, if only because, like, and the guys did not agree with me. Jed, New York Rick, and Casey did not agree. I think Natty Ice at this stage and in this weight class, I think she smokes Rose. Not necessarily knocks her out, but like either finishes her or very convincing 30-27 win. Like I'm that high on Natalia. So I know the experience gap is huge. The level of competition gap is huge. So it shouldn't look like an easy win, but you could get me to bite on like Natalia Silva, like -200, I would still go for it. And she probably wouldn't be -200 because Rose is such a bigger name. Yeah.
I don't
Rose
think so. Name. Yeah. I mean, if I got enough value on Natty Ice, I would bet on her. If they put that on a pay-per-view and like Rose is like a -190 or like a -200 and Natty was like a +140 or 150, I'd probably take a shot on Natty because she's got excellent takedown defense and she's very rangy. She's very tricky. And I'd be concerned about the experience gap. I'd be concerned about her getting a little too wild and crazy out there because she does do that. And she did it against Andrea Lee. And, you know, she had moments where she, you know, got clipped a couple of times. And if she does that with Rose, it's probably not going to be good. But yeah, I don't hate the matchup. It just makes no sense for Rose to take it. You know what I mean? So if Rose lost, I think that made all the sense in the world. Like if Hebus had won that fight and you want to do Natty versus Rose, that's perfect. But after a win, can't happen just yet. She's coming though, Rose. You better be ready. Natty Ice is coming.
The reasons you mentioned, and again, for my own reasons, I don't love it. It's not a terrible suggestion. It's not like the worst suggestion. It's just maybe not right now. I think it's just not going to happen next, I don't think. But that's it, Mike. That's it for me. Again, I did have someone asking last week, how do we send in picks? And I was like, we've taken for granted that people listen to every episode, because I think we actually gone a few episodes where we did not mention how to reach out to us. So guys, hit me up. My DMs are open on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, at Alexander K. Lee. On Instagram, at Alexander KK Lee. And hit me up on email, alexander.lee@sbnation.com. Mike, how can they get you?
Easiest is Instagram. Send the DMs, m_heckjr. That's where I find them. I will dig into all the folders to find your submissions. So send them along. And yeah, I mean, I guess it just really depends on the event. The event's good, we get a bunch of selections. If the event is not great, we get some, but not a lot. We appreciate anyone who sends suggestions. So a lot of stuff to look forward to this week on MMA Fighting. At some point, I believe the debut episode of Swing Rounds with one Mike Perry is going to drop. I know we've been teasing that for a while. The great E. Casey Lydon sent over the latest draft to us last night. Watched it this morning. Even my wife watched it this morning, and she had a good time watching it as well. She thought it was fun. So I think we're getting real close, everybody. I think we're getting really, really close to that dropping. I think you guys are going to dig it. Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, UFC 100 rewatch party on the MMA Fighting YouTube channel. It's going to be super fun. And what I forgot all about until I went back, there's only 4 fights on the main card. So we're going to watch 4 fights, and that's it.
What?
We're going to watch.
Stop it.
Yeah.
You are lying. You are lying to America.
I would never lie to you. We're going to watch Sexy Yama versus Alan Belcher. We're going to watch Dan Henderson versus Michael Bisping. We're going to watch George St. Pierre versus Thiago Alves. We're going to watch Brock Lesnar versus Frank Mir. There is a rare Postlim on this card as well.
Postlim. I remember this. I think the only Postlim in UFC history or modern UFC history. I could be wrong.
John Fitch versus Paulo Thiago, but I don't even know if that thing ever saw the light of day because it was 2009.
It aired somewhere because I remember watching that fight. Maybe it was on Facebook. Maybe. I remember I did watch that fight like that either that night or that week.
Yeah.
Wow. We got to dig into this. Okay. We'll dig into this.
We got to dig into this. So that's going to happen 8 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. And then the following week, we'll do a UFC 200 watch party. That will have five fights. That'll be a little bit longer of a time, but it'll be a lot of time to like answer questions and stuff like that. And we'll make it super easy on you guys. Like we'll load up either ESPN Plus or Fight Pass, whatever's easier for everybody. We'll 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. We'll all watch it at the exact same time. It will be spectacular. So don't miss it this Tuesday. And then we'll be back on the program next week here to discuss the fallout of UFC Atlantic City. Is it a 7 p.m. main card for this one, AK?
Don't know yet. It better be. Or earlier would be even better.
We got to answer these questions for the people. All right, where are we at? Please tell me. Oh, God, AK.
I don't like this reaction.
Yeah. 10 p.m.
Come on.
According to UFC.
Come on. Why?
I mean, maybe the website's wrong, but UFC Fight Night, Saturday, March 30th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Boardwalk Hall, Atlantic City, New Jersey.
This is in New Jersey. This isn't like, why? Why?
Let me see. All right. I want to make sure we have this right because people are going to want to know.
I see it on ESPN. 7 o'clock prelims, 10 o'clock. I mean, 7 this could
p.m.
change.
Yep.
But it's not ESPN even
on
right now.
Even on Ticketmaster, if you want to buy tickets, first fight, 7 p.m. Eastern. So, yowzer, it's going to be a long one. 14 fights, another six-fight main card. And here it is, my friends. Here is the UFC's return outside of the world's most famous apex to Atlantic City. Aaron Blanchfield, Manon Fiorot, big fight, 125 pounds. Vicente Luque, Joaquin Buckley, the co-main event. Is this a co-main event, AK?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Vicente is always a main event or co-main event guy. Apex main event or co-main event guy, for sure.
Bruno Silva versus Chris Weidman in what could potentially be the final fight of Chris Weidman's career, depending on how this all goes. Nursultan Rudzabov versus Cedrique Dumas. We got Bill Algeo versus Kyle Nelson. Oh, I forgot Chidian Jokowani versus Reese McKee. That's the main card for a please buy tickets to this event fight card. Why is Verna Jendroba versus Lupi Godinez not on the main card right now? Hopefully that changes. We also have Andre Petrosky versus Jacob Alcun. Conor Matthews, New England's own, taking on Dennis Bajuka, Angel Pacheco. I believe he is making his UFC debut. Minnesota guy, but also part of the New England cartel. I think he was a fighter that Dana gave a contract to off the Contender Series on a loss, if memory serves me correctly. I could be wrong about that. He takes on the outspoken Kaolin Lochran, Julio Arce, Herbert Burns, Ibo Asayan versus the Pleasure Man, Anton Turkalj, Mosagato versus Victoria Dudakova, and Nate the Train Landwehr versus Jamal Emmers. All going down. That is UFC Atlantic City, AK.
I love this guy more than anyone. Would the Pleasure Man still be in the UFC right now if his nickname wasn't the Pleasure Man?
I don't think so.
He's riding this nickname, right? I mean, he's had some okay fights, but he hasn't actually won. And
I mean, he's great. Look, there's value in what he brings to the table, which is he gets got really well.
True.
But he's fought good dudes. Like, just look at the opponents he's fought.
All solid opponents.
Vitor Petrino, who's going to be like a ranked light heavyweight. Tyson Pedro, that one doesn't age well based on what we saw on Saturday. And now he's going to fight Ibo Asayan, the last Ottoman, 27-year-old Contender Series guy.
By the way, this is
who is very, very good.
This is a two, apparently.
A two what?
They fought in Brave. This is a rematch.
They did? Yes, they did.
I only know this because I'm literally looking at Turkali's shirt on right now. Just because I was trying to remember, did he get a win in the UFC? Like, no, he's 0-3, very possibly 0-4. And I do think his nickname has taken him a long way, as it should, because the nickname is amazing.
Well, folks, that's why you listen to this program, because now the stakes could not be higher for that matchup at 205 pounds. And we'll talk all about it. Perhaps one of these two gentlemen will be the wild card selection following UFC Atlantic City. And then we got one more trip to the world's most famous Apex. And then it is on the road to UFC 300, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting closer and closer as the days and weeks go by. So join us next week to discuss the fallout of UFC Atlantic City from a matchmaking perspective right here on to the next one, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.